You shouldn't tell Clevelanders they live in the Rust Belt if you say it with pity. Yes, there's been a great loss of manufacturing with terrible impact, but low-cost energy, new technology, and a surge of young people is changing that. According to economists from Cleveland State University, this area is third in the country in the gain of young adults with college degrees. Lots of engineering degrees, too. But unlike in the Silicon Valley, these young people are more likely to make something with their hands like their parents did. In a minute, a glassblower whose dad was a car mechanic. But first, Bart Hanick. His dad worked for the city sewer system. Bart is the manager of Cleveland Art. Now, we met up at what looked like an old factory in Chagrin Falls, outside Cleveland. What was this?
So this was the Browns. He actually made nuts and bolts and repaired machines back in the day by hand.
Okay, let's go inside. Remember those nuts and bolts. They'll make an appearance later. Everything old from Cleveland's manufacturing past does, as it's made new again here. All right, we're entering this big old stone building. There are piles of glorious old rusty thingamajigs. They'll make their way into chandeliers or tables. Follow along. We'll have pictures at hereandnow.org. I see machinery everywhere.
This is the weld shop, and all the metal working's done in this room here.
What's going on over here?
Working on a table for Filson Stores. They're opening one in D.C., Never look directly while somebody's welding. It can burn your eyes.
Just by looking at it?
Yep.
Alrighty. Everywhere, young men and women work away at steel and wrought iron pieces. Some of these people came from manufacturing jobs.
Yeah, some of them are from plants. Some of them, like Tommy Two Guns, he come out of school. He was an intern. Mm-hmm. We could get a lot of interns from high schools. Mm-hmm. And before they go to college, they learn a trade. There is a lot more jobs of art coming out of Ohio than ever before.
Okay, now we enter woodworking.
Woodworking, yeah.
In the next room, more young men and women assembling cabinets, and piles of wood are everywhere.
These are old beams from barns. Then we have a whole building that's 10 foot tall, just bleacher wood.
From old stands, like bleacher stands?
Yeah, from old schools. Back in the 1920s, the U.S. was deforested, so a lot of wood you get now has knots and stuff. With old bleacher woods, there's no knots, solid wood. We get to go picking.
Picking? You mean garbage picking or just...
Well, it's not really garbage.
Oh, yeah, I know. Not at all. But picking...
Back in the day, they would call it garbage picking, but... Yeah, we're pickers. We go all over the United States. If you take a look back there, there's like engines, blocks from B-52 bombers.
What are you going to do with that?
I turn them into tables because it's just an engine block, so you can see the holes where the pistons went through, and cool. We'll light them up underneath.
There's a thick chain from the battleship USS Massachusetts, 15 feet long, cylinders that look like missiles.
They fill them up with gas, so when they're going across the ocean, they'll run them out of gas, drop it, and then they'll use the rest of the gas in the plane.
Drop tank.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do with a drop tank?
Probably just put a sign on it and make it into a sign. Yeah, the red one, I would just want to do Cleveland Arts, the bomb.
We travel down the road from the woodworking and machine shop to a smaller building where the glass blowers work and the finished products are showcased.
It used to be a garage, I think, and they fixed tractors in here. When we got it, somebody was burning tires in here for heat. It was horrible when we got the building. The basement was flooded, probably 1,000 frogs down there.
The whole thing is about character, the whole thing.
Everything's recycled.
Inside, it's breathtaking. Look, there's a long table, an old planked factory cart.
They'll use it for a nesting table for Nordstrom or Ralph Lauren. The base of this table was an old lathe from a machine shop, and that one's about 1930s.
How much?
For that piece, it's around $2,000.
Wow. I'm wondering if this is the thinking, Bart. You get some fancy people from, New York to buy something like that. It's sort of like payback from the Rust Belt.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so what's this? I see glass hanging everywhere and bicycles everywhere.
Yeah, all the bikes are made in Cleveland, Ohio.
Was Cleveland a big bike manufacturer?
It was back in the day.
What else did Cleveland make?
Steel, a lot of steel, machinery.
This is an artist's dream. It was beautiful in here. But I can't tell if it's also very sad because it's a lot of industry that, you know, you're pulling from graveyards, you know?
Yes, but it's got a new beginning.
Through the large open garage door out back, a field of Queen Anne's lace and wildflowers, and more rusting hulks.
Sawhorses, steel bands, old piping. There's carts and wheels from the Remington Gun Factory from the Civil War era.
Wow. Out here and say, oh my God, this is one of those junkyards that they're trying to clear out. You see what?
I see tables, lights, chairs. Just art.
Back inside, a corner is devoted to glass blowing.
Open up that door for a second.
Oh my gosh. They just opened a door and there's a huge furnace, bright orange light. It's very hot.
It's over 2,000 degrees.
One of the workers brings over recycled glass. It looks like ice cubes.
Yeah, or little charcoal briquettes, but this is what we throw in the furnace. Let it melt down overnight, and then we're ready to go the next day.
And we meet Chris Adamick.
Glassblower and blacksmith, a little bit of everything.
Talk about recycling old skills. I mean, glass blowing and blacksmithing.
Yeah, it's something I started doing some metal work in high school and in college. I thought I was a painter and took a class in glass, and I've been a glassblower ever since.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing about Cleveland, is that people here with college degrees like yours are still making things.
Yeah, I've noticed that. You know, there's a lot of craftsmen. You know, energy is cheaper than a lot of other places. You know, there's a lot of growth in Cleveland. People want, high design, objects.
Everybody wants something handmade. We do all over the world now. We have stuff in Japan, England, all over Europe. We just did Timberland stores last year in London, their flag store. And it took gold for the best design store in the world in Vegas.
I guess, it's not maybe bicycles.
Pieces of bicycles, it's pieces of everything.
For about 25 minutes, we watch as Chris dips a long blowpipe into the furnace, scooping up the melted glass.
I keep this turning, or it'll fall off just kind of like a honey dripper.
He'll occasionally blow a puff of air into the pipe to form a bubble in the hardening glass that holds open a space to make a bowl. After a lot of twisting and turning and working the glass, the bowl is made. Then he drops melted glass around the rim. Now you're playing with the glass. You're creating this little ribbon, kind of a gathered ribbon of glass all around the top of the bowl.
I call these splash bowls because it looks like if you dropped a stone in a pond.
Beautiful. The bowl complete, Bart shows us other finished products. Mixed media chandeliers with glass-blown crystals hanging off salvaged parts.
If you look at that one frame right there, it's all made out of old motorcycle chain. And if you look really, really close into the crystal, there's actually nuts and bolts in the crystals. Most people don't never know this. It just makes it more beautiful. And what's nice is I'll put this over a Victorian table.
Old nuts and bolts. It's kind of like old Cleveland, old...
Yeah, old Cleveland.
And with new...
The Rust Belt.
Yeah. The Rust Belt with the beautiful crystal over it.
Yep. You always have to change. You can't just stay the same. We here, we change.
Back at the machine shop, there's one last thing Bart wants to show us. A huge buoy made of quarter-inch plate steel. Using a plasma cutter, they carved out the shape of the continents, and poof, it's a globe.
And it's going to be a light when it's done. And then when it's lit up inside, it's beautiful.
Yeah, but it's 5 feet across. Where's that going to hang?
I've done houses that have 10-foot by 15-foot chandeliers in. Actually, Donald Trump has three chandeliers of ours, waterfall chandeliers, in one of his places.
Seriously?
He bought two and said two wasn't enough, and he bought another one.
Okay, so Donald Trump is also telling people that the old manufacturing jobs, he's going to bring them back. Your thoughts?
Anything's possible, but you have to change.
We leave with a lingering image. Bart raises his globe with a hoist, then stands under it like Atlas, the weight of the world on his shoulders. Only it's a new world for this Rust Belt worker.
At Cleveland Arts in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, part of Cleveland's comeback, recycling the past and charging for it. They've opened a studio in Los Angeles. The catalog alone is gorgeous. They've got a website. We'll hook you up. And don't forget great pictures, too, at hereandnow.org.